seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, and the 13th verse. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, and verse 13. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, and verse 13. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. We tried to look this morning, as many of you know, with the great need of heavenly wisdom to be given. And the Word of God tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Where that fear is in gracious exercise, He will make the sinner wise before Him. But I want us help to go a little further with the text. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. Now, we read those few verses to you this morning in Kings chapter 4, the first of Kings, and how Solomon was given that wisdom in all things, both in the things of nature, the Lord's dealings with his people, and the vital things of his soul. But here he says, concerning all things that are done under heaven. Notice how comprehensive this is. He says, all things. And I believe if we are truly taught of God, there will be great concern in all things. Under God's fear, the sinner is concerned in all things to see the Lord work, for him to unfold his purposes, and for the Lord to provide in every way that the sinner needs him to. Concerning all things. And I venture to just bring this to you, that in the concerns you may have in your heart, and they may not be known to any man, only to your own heart and to the Lord. Concerning all things. Those things you see that man knows nothing about, that go on in the heart of the child of God. And how Solomon sought, as he was upon the throne throughout Judah and Jerusalem, that all the things that concerned him under heaven were all known to the Lord, and how he needed wisdom in all those things. But what I want to come to really this afternoon is this latter part. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. let us look firstly at this sore travail. In sore travail, naturally, there is much pain, much anguish. And this is the path the Lord leads his dear children in. David, Solomon's godly father, knew it ever so much, and so was Solomon to experience it. And the margin tells us concerning this sore travail, to afflict them. You see, Solomon, with all the wisdom that he was given, was to have to walk things in his heart and in his pathway that were sore travail. And so often it is through the path of affliction, this sore travail. Well, I want to look at it in a few ways as we may be helped. It can mean too sore troubles like Jacob had. In his family, in his life, in times of famine. And you can look at it too in the case of dear Job. If ever a man went through sore travail, he did. And what was the purpose of this sore travail? Well, the first reason is couched in our text. Given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. You know, really, when this sore travail comes upon us, and none of us know what we may have to walk through, is it not to exercise us? If ever there was an exercised man in the Word of God, dear Job was. And what exercised him? This sore travail that he had to pass through. You see, in travail, there's a great cost, isn't there? Oh, as we name this, I would name it with profound reverence. You think of the precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus himself. What is recorded concerning the great agonies and sufferings that the precious Son of God endured? We read this, he saw of the travail of his soul and was satisfied. And, oh, what a blessed thing it is, naturally, isn't it, when a dear mother, as she brings forth her child, she sees of that travail and is satisfied, has her precious babe at the end of it all, the reward. And, you see, Solomon, in all that he had to pass through, and you know, he knew many enemies that were out to destroy him. He speaks of the Lord's dear people, of that wisdom they need. And then he says, this sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. And it may be there are those of you walking through sore troubles, sore afflictions, sore distresses, a sore persecution, an opposition. Oh, you think how many times David was opposed by his enemies, Saul and the Philistines and Absalom and many others. Many nations coming against him. But oh, how it exercised. You see, what I want to come to is this, if the Lord help me, is with the world and with the ungodly, they have their sore troubles, their sore distresses. things that will perplex them, just like the child of God does. But what does it do in the ungodly or those that fear not God? It hardens them. They're like Pharaoh. When the Lord sent the plagues into Egypt, and those things the Lord did to make him let the children of Israel go. But what did it do in the heart of Pharaoh? It hardened him. And that's what it will do in our old nature. It'll do in the ungodly. It'll do in those that fear not God. And if we are left to ourselves, that's what it'll do with us. It hardens. But not so here. It's a wonderful thing. The Lord was to use it to exercise us, that our souls may be alive unto God. You think of what dear Hezekiah had to go through. If ever a man knew sore affliction, he did. But not only that, you look at the opposition from the Assyrian army out to destroy him. It was a sore trouble and affliction. And then look at it in his soul. How the Lord brought him right down by saying to him, "Thou shalt die and not live." How would you feel this afternoon and I if the Lord said to us, "Thou shalt die and not live"? And especially with the affliction that was upon him. But what did it do in Hezekiah? It drove him to the throne of grace, to the door of mercy. And the Lord exercised him in it all. It's a wonderful word, that is, isn't it? Exercised. To be exercised therewith. And this is really what drew me to this text. It seemed as though the Lord seemed to lay this upon me. And I want to look as help this afternoon at a few of the exercises the Lord will give to his people. But just to step back to Hezekiah, what did Hezekiah say in all that he was in? And especially when the Lord delivered him, he put away all his sin. He delivered him from the Assyrian army. He healed his affliction. He restored him. And what did Hezekiah say? "By these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit." In him was such exercise before God. And these saw travail that the wise man is speaking of here is to make us exercise. Where would we be without it? You know, if you were going along in a path of ease and of contentment and nothing to trouble you, there wouldn't be much exercise, would there? And this exercise that we're speaking of here and that's couched in our text is not just bodily exercise. You know, we are told, especially in these days, it is vital for us all to have plenty of exercise in a natural way. It is good for us. And so it is spiritually. What made those old divines of old so real in the things of God? It was with what they had to go through that exercised them. They were well exercised concerning their prayers. They were well exercised concerning their steps and the pathway they got to tread. Their souls were exercised before God. What does the Apostle Paul say to Timothy? He says to him this, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Now firstly, he's warning him of profane and old wives' fables. Many are willing to listen to them, and they take their minds up on them. But he says, but exercise thyself unto godliness. And what is godliness? It's an exercise of the soul which is given by the Lord to his dear people. It's not just an outward exercise, it's an exercise of the soul, godliness. Bodily exercise profiteth, he says, little. The margin tells us, or for a time. You think bodily exercise, we may run or we may do various things bodily. It is profitable, but it's only for a time. May we lay that to heart this afternoon? It's only for a time, because our lives will soon be ended, won't they? But what about our souls? He says, but exercise thyself unto godliness. He addresses it particularly to dear Timothy, who was young in the faith, that he should be exercised unto godliness. And his soul should be in this. He says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness, and notice the wording, is profitable unto all things, having promise of life, the life that now is, that is right the way through your pilgrimage here, and of that which is to come. Think how comprehensive and blessed that is. It's not only an exercise for your here, but for that which is to come. Now, what are we exercising this afternoon? Well, first of all, let us look at a few of the exercises that should be in our hearts. The first, we should be exercised concerning our never-dying souls. Each of us here have a never-dying soul, which is bound either for heaven, to be with the Lord forever, or it's bound for hell, an eternal damnation. And with the real child of God, they're so exercised, so concerned, so burdened. Lord, how will it be when I come to the hour and article of death? It's an exercise that is God-given and it's deep down in the soul. How shall I stand in that great day? You know, there are many things we take for granted, but poor soul, don't take this for granted, like the professor of religion will, or the ungodly will, that they're going to go to heaven. They think they can have as much as they like of the things of time and have heaven at last. Exercise thyself unto godliness. Oh, may we take heed to that word this afternoon, concerning our souls. And this is what really concerned Hezekiah. Death was at the doors. And how should he stand before a holy God? You know, it's a great concern, or should be to us, when we breathe that last breath, then it is eternity. and eternity is forever. And how shall we spend it? You see, we can be here one moment and in eternity the next. Or we can. I remember my late dear uncle that was deacon at Staplehurst on the Lord's Day in November 1988, if I remember rightly. His dear wife, she said, "I've never heard him sing like it in the house of God." And she said, "I wonder what it meant." He was 74. And on the Monday, he used to go and help a dear old lady with a few of her gardening jobs. And he went there. And this old lady, she said to him, "I'll get you a cup of coffee." It was a cold, foggy November morning. And she went and got it. And when she took it out to him, he lay dead by the wheelbarrow. In a moment was gone. We know with him, it was eternal bliss. But you think how solemn if it had been otherwise. He could sing himself away, and he did on that Lord's Day. The joy that filled his soul, it was a taste of heaven begun below. But oh, may we lay to heart, we exercise. He was a well-exercised man concerning his end. The great concern to be right, the great concern, how shall I stand in the swellings of Jordan? And his hymns were most choice. You see, they were all concerning his soul and eternity. Are we exercised? May it be the great exercise of each one of us to be prepared for that great day. We named in conclusion this morning about the wise and the foolish virgins. How is it with us? The wise were exercised, they might have their lamps. That was the vital thing. Two, the vital thing was their lamps must be trimmed, all ready, and that they might have that vital oil in them. But the foolish, they had an exercise, but their exercise was they would have a lamp, and they would trim the lamp. But there was no exercise about the vital oil until the cry went forth. But then it was too late, wasn't it? Think how solemn. Many say, we'll leave the great matters of eternity till we get old. We may never get old. I was talking to a friend, the undertaker, yesterday. And he said to me, "Most of the funerals I've had this month have been people of 40 and just over." You think how searching that is. Sometimes short is the warning. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Not just when we're in the house of God and it is preached, in such an hour as ye think not. Maybe in the busy scenes of life, It may be in the night season while we sleep. Our text says, this sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Another great exercise of a child of God will be this: to know their sins are put away. We cannot put them away. No man can put them away. With the dear redeemed of God's dear children, all that the Father had given his beloved Son to suffer, bleed and die for were all put away at Calvary. Think of what the dear hymn writer said. My soul looks back to see the burdens thou didst bear when hanging on the accursed tree, and hopes her guilt was there. You know, those dear hymn writers were well exercised men, and they wrote of their exercises they did. I was reading the other day a little of the life of a dear Mr. Joseph Hart, the dear hymn writer, and all the things that he had to go through to pen those sacred hymns, and the exercise that went into those hymns were the exercises of his own soul. Oh, they were. So are we exercised to know our pardon signed and our peace procured? How do you lay your head on the pillow at night? Is it, Lord, do forgive the sins of this day and the sins of our lives? And it'll be the plea right the way through the day and through the night season. You may even wake up in the night pleading for it. You won't but a rest till you obtain it. Now does this exercise us? We read in Hebrews 11, didn't we, to them that are exercised thereby. And that's why we read Hebrews 12 rather this afternoon. Them that are exercised thereby. And you see, what is so searching and came to me when this text came, the Lord sees how well we are exercised. Oh, he does. It's easy for us to sleep in religion. It's easy for us to just have an outward profession. But it's another thing to be really exercised in it. And that's why Paul warned Timothy so, to put from him all those things that were superficial and of no weight and no importance, and to exercise himself under godliness. But then there may be those of you that are exercised concerning your steps of providence. We know him this morning, of Abraham's servant, the wisdom he needed. But you look how it really exercised the dear man in every step regarding taking a wife back for Isaac. If ever there was a man well exercised, that dear servant was. And then, are we exercised? And I remember in many times in my days at work, exercise concerning all what we had to do and the pathway. And then are we exercised about our loved ones? Do they concern our souls? Oh, I trust it's in my heart the Lord would work in every one of the dear young ones and us that are older too, this real exercise of soul. You see, a person that's exercised naturally is one that is continually having to move and be active. And if you think of our souls, are they moving and active before God, not sleeping? It's a solemn thing, you know, if we're just sleeping and say, well, you know, it shouldn't concern me, it's somebody else's problem. But then, let us go further. There are the exercises the Lord lays on his people, like maybe one of our children or grandchildren, or it may be one in the house of God, or it may be one in the world. I remember one of the old ministers saying once, he said that he was so exercised that the Lord would work in a person that didn't go to chapel at all, and the Lord would work in this young man, and he said, I couldn't get rid of the exercise. It was with me in the daytime. It was when I went to bed, I'd got it. I got up in the morning and got it. He said, I couldn't get rid of it. And you see, if you've got a real exercise, you won't be able to. It'll be with you night and day. I remember when I was exercised concerning following the Lord in his sacred ordinances. It was with me at night, it was with me in the day, and it didn't matter where I was, I couldn't get away from it. And the same with the ministry. But to go back to this dear servant of God, you see, he said, Lord, do begin with him. And the Lord did it, you know. And he brought him in and he made him a faithful member of the church and a deacon in the end. Is anything too hard for the Lord? May we be rightly exercised and then as a church and people, may we exercise for souls. And are we exercised concerning Zion? We hear many say, oh, well, Zion's in a very low ebb, the things of God are at a very low state. But does it really exercise us? This is the point. Does it cause us many errands to the throne of grace? Lord, do appear. And when you think of many of the Lord's servants that are aged and many in affliction, there are many laid aside in various ways. Does it exercise us? The Lord would thrust out men for the ministry. Or do we say, well, that's an exercise for another church and not ours? You see, these things that rest so heavily upon my heart since this text came, but yeah, those of you may be exercised about following the Lord. As I said just now, it was with me night and day. And, you know, I used to say to the Lord, Lord, and the same with God in the ministry, if this exercise is of me, take it all away. And I don't want to hear it preached from the pulpit again. And that was what nature said. In our old nature. But then I had to say, Lord, but if it's of thee, do confirm it and confirm it and confirm it. And I know that it didn't matter where I went, to the house of God, whether it was close home or away, you know, there it was preached again. There was no getting out from under it. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. And there may be one here, you say, well, I'm a poor, needy sinner. And you know, I often say, and when in hearing the testimonies of the Lord's children over the years, when they've come to speak, I've said, now, there's one thing you want to remember. You're not here before judges. You're here before poor sinners. We're just the same as you. And it's to hear what the Lord has done, what he has spoken. It may be only a few things the sinner can say, but if that's of the Spirit, you know, it's precious. The eunuch didn't give a long testimony, did he? Philip said to him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And what did he say? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And that came right out of that eunuch's heart, you know. He was so exercised by it. And as they came to that certain water, but just stepping back to the travail. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. We read in the word that when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And oh, may there be much exercise that there may be this real travail. Your late beloved pastor used to so often speak of the mothers in Israel. And on one occasion he said, you know, if you got one mother in Israel in a cause of truth, there's a prospect. The prospect that there'll be a bringing forth. You know, that there might be those quickened into life, brought forth out of the world. And then the Lord bless them abundantly and bring them forth into the church. There might be that travail. When Zion travailed, it didn't say she had her children before she travailed, but when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And where there's this travail, there must be a bringing forth. Now, it's not, of course, in man's time. There's a time, looking at it naturally, to be born. And there's a time when the Lord will cause this bringing forth. And that's in the Lord's hand. Oh, it is. In his time. So there are two precious things that I trust the Holy Spirit will apply to each of our hearts here. Well, in the text, of course, there's three vital things, but I'm looking at two this afternoon. And we'll just remind you of what we looked at this morning, the need of wisdom. And may we be exercised that we might have that wisdom from above. But then, the two things in this latter part is first the travail. And then secondly, the exercise. And oh, you think of dear old Jacob and those old divines, how well they were exercised and how well they travailed. You think of dear old Jacob and those as they travailed for souls. But it may be there are those of you walking through much affliction, many trials, many temptations and many sins that beset you. But then look at the enemies. Satan is ever active, isn't he? And the temptations and opposition from Satan is sore. It speaks of sore travail. He's such a real foe. But is all this to exercise you concerning the things that are vital and concerning the things pertaining to your never dying soul? You know, really, each service to my heart is a great exercise. Many may say, well, after preaching years, as your late beloved pastor did, surely there isn't the exercise there was when we began. I believe there's more exercise in it now than then. My late great-grandfather, when he preached at Black Boys, he preached there for 30 years as a supply. He said when he got up on that 30-year occasion, he said, friends, there's more concern and more exercise and more travail in my heart today, and it's costing me much more today than it did 30 years ago. You see, it doesn't get any easier. Many may think if a man stands before the people after years, it'll get easier. It'll never get any easier. You read the old divines, Warburton and Philpott and Gadsby and so on, and they found the path harder and harder and harder. It's through much tribulation you must enter the kingdom. And you see, that their soul might be exercised aright in vital things. It's not just a getting up and speaking a few words. It's the exercise that goes into it. Not only in the pulpit, but through the night season, through the day, it's continuous. And that's often why many of the Lord's servants are taken home while they're young, because of the extent of the exercise. I know regarding Uncle Jabez Field that was at Black Boys, the many of those souls and even the doctors said the reason he was taken like he was because of the great burden and weight and exercise that he carried for so many years. You see, we're only poor men. The flesh can only stand so much. But the mercy is, it's all in the hands of the eternal God. Well, I've scratched a little around the surface of this word. May the Holy Spirit apply the text, and may we be given that diligence that Solomon was given, to seek and to search out wisdom. He says here, and I gave my heart. That was his all in it. He said, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Well, may the text sweetly be applied to each of our souls. Amen.